perfect life does not save us. His virgin birth does not save us. His teaching does not save us. His miracles do not save us, nor does his example save us. But it is his death upon the cross that saves us. Welcome to Through the Bible. Those words from our founder and teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, are the perfect introduction to our study. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host. So grab your Bible now and open to the New Testament book of Hebrews at chapter 2, verse 10. And as you do, let's hear some inspiring letters that we've recently received from our fellow Bible bus passengers. First, we've got a listener in Madhya Pradesh, India, who says, I'm the oldest of five siblings. We run a small store in our village where we are known as a religious and devout family who has followed in the spiritual footsteps of our ancestors. One day, as I was wrapping provisions for a customer in a piece of newspaper, I happened to read the first piece of Christian literature that I have ever seen. It stated that if you believe in Jesus Christ, your sins will be forgiven and you will become a child of God, a new creation. I was intrigued by this statement and shared this with a friend of mine, who gave me a copy of the New Testament and encouraged me to read the book of John. He also introduced me to your radio program, which I began listening to regularly. Through your messages, I have found peace in the understanding of God's Word, and I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. At first, my parents opposed my conversion, but they gave up after a while as they saw how determined I was. Recently, I have started a small home group of 8 people, and we regularly listen to the Word of God. I have been trying to get my family to join us. Please pray that God may open their hearts as well. Well, we never know how God's going to work in our lives, do we? But as Dr. McGee tells us today, God's present purpose is bringing many sons unto glory. Here's another one. This is a letter that demonstrates how God creatively draws us to himself. When I started to listen to your program, I didn't know anything about the Bible. An electrician came to my work one day and told me about the program. I tuned in and started to learn in the book of Isaiah, and I haven't stopped listening since. I am now challenging myself to read and study more and more each day. I want to thank you for all you do in keeping this wonderful program on the air and teaching us the Word of God. Sometimes I can't believe how much I've learned in the last 10 years, and I'm so grateful for the electrician who took a risk and talked with me. Wow, isn't that great? You know, no matter where we are or what we're doing, if God wants our attention, he'll get it. And as you'll see from this next letter, he might even use one of us to get the attention of someone we love. I'm a nurse in Africa, and I always come home late from the night shift. Every morning, my daughter, who was saved while attending a youth rally, would purposely turn on your program in our native language of Zulu and encourage me to listen before I slept. At first, I started listening to appease her, and I also thought it might help me fall asleep. But little did I know, that was the beginning of my new life in Christ. After about a month of listening, I said yes to Jesus. I thank God for my daughter and your programs, which are some of the instruments God used to save me. Aren't these wonderful letters? We sure would love to hear from you as well. So why don't you email us at BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can send your note to P.O. Box 7100, Pasadena, California 91109, or in Canada Box 25325, London, Ontario N6C6B1. Now let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to give us more opportunities to share his word and bring more sons and daughters to his glory. Father, thank you for Jesus' death on the cross that saves us, and thank you for the opportunity that you give us to share your word and then tell others about his amazing sacrifice. Today and every day, help us glorify you in all that we do. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come back today to Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 11, but I'm not going to let verse 10 get away without saying something else here that we feel is very important concerning this verse. It's one of those rich verses, by the way, that you just can't let go. Verses 9 and 10 are the very heart of this chapter here. For it became him, and I'm reading now, that is the Lord Jesus, for whom are all things. Now they were made for him, and by whom are all things. He made them, they were made by him, and they were made for him. Now, if you want to know why this universe exists, it's because Jesus wanted it. It's because it was his will, and this universe exists for him. And that's the origin of it. It was in the mind of Christ. Now, will you notice, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. And that's God's present purpose. Now, God has a future purpose of putting his king on his holy hill of Zion. That's in the second Psalm. And God's moving forward on that today. But right now, he's calling a people out by his name. I read a letter. The boy, I can take it, he got about as far down as you can go, and on dope, and had served time in prison. And now the Lord Jesus has saved him. The Lord's bringing many sons home to glory. We're seeing this and hearing of it all over the world today. God's still calling the people out to his name and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation. Now, I want to say a word about this word captain. We have it again in verse 2 of chapter 12. And you find it translated prince in Acts 3:15. Actually, it means originator or leader. And Dr. Scofield's note is one who initiates and carries through. In other words, the Lord Jesus is the Alpha and Omega of everything. He's the beginning and the end. He starts it and he completes it, you see. He is the captain. He originates our salvation. And he not only originates it, but to make the captain of our salvation perfect. And that word perfect, we dwelt on it just a little before. Actually, this has to do with the idea of to carry through to a goal, to consummate. So that you have here with the word captain and the word perfect, he originates it, he consummates it. He begins it, he ends it. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. This is the thing that the writer here is saying. And how did he do it? By sitting on the throne of God? No, by coming down to this earth and taking upon himself our humanity. And what did he do when he came down here? He tasted death, we're told, back in verse 9. He tasted death for every man. And as we said last time, that just doesn't mean the fact of death that he went through, but all that death means. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus became a man, he wasn't a man in whom God did something, although he did, but he's not a religious genius. And yet he was. He's not a martyr to a cause, and yet you could say that. He's not a good example, and yet he was. No, he came down to this earth to redeem mankind. He procured man's salvation. And today, there's a man in the glory. He took humanity back to heaven, and he brought God down here to reveal God. He took humanity up there to represent us. He reveals God down here. He represents man up there. And we're going to see that in his priesthood here. Now, I read verse 11. We're ready for it now. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, I love this verse we come to here. And sanctified doesn't quite mean what the average person thinks it means today, and certainly what I thought for years it meant. My idea was it made sort of a goody-goody out of you, made you a nice, sweet little boy. Well, sanctification, when it's used in connection with the Holy Spirit, has to do with the work of God in us to make us the kind of representative that he wants down on this earth. And it's the work of the Spirit of God in the heart of the redeemed. But sanctification, when it's used with the person of Christ, and that is true in the Epistle to the Hebrews, it's not purification, it's consecration. It's not a condition, but a position that we have in Christ. And that is something that we need to keep before us. And he was the just, and he took the place of the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And he's brought us now into the family of God. And in the family of God, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Now, I don't dare call him brother. I wouldn't dare say that concerning him. But may I say that he has brought us into the family of God. And he's the firstborn among many brethren. He's the head of the family. And he calls us brethren because we all become sons of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, this makes it very clear that this false doctrine, not a doctrine, it's heresy, of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man is probably the most damnable doctrine that there is abroad today, because it's just simply not true. As we said last time, I sure wouldn't want to have been a brother of a king of England in the old days. You'd have made a trip to the Tower, one-way trip, and they would have had a necktie party for you. They'd have put your head over the chopping block and with one whack ended it all. They were a bloody lot, by the way. We like to, many of us, boast of our English background. I tell you, when you begin to look at it, you wonder whether you wouldn't like to say that you came from some island way out in the South Pacific somewhere and not with an English background. May I say to you, mankind hasn't very much to boast of today. Now, we find as we read on here, and he says he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now, this verse is a quotation from Psalm 22, and that's the great psalm of the cross. And verse 22 denotes the change in this psalm. In the first part of it, you have the humiliation of Christ, and you have actually the seven last words of the cross there. Many of you have my book on the X-ray of the cross, and that's on Psalm 22, and we deal with those seven sayings. They're all right here. But beginning with verse 22, you have the exaltation of Christ. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. And I'm of the opinion that we could restrict this right here to his Hebrew brethren, because this is written to the Hebrews. I was talking to a Jewish guide that we had, Ms. McGee and I were with him for one day, and before he left us, I had a little talk with him about Jesus. I asked him the question. I said, you know, Jesus was in this land here. He enjoyed pointing out several places. I remember he said, here is Bethany. And you remember Jesus was here, and this is the home. I said, Jesus was a Jew. You remember the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. She said to him, how is it that thou being a Jew? That's what she thought he was. And I think she was accurate because Jesus didn't deny it, you see. And I told him, I said, you ought to be telling me about Jesus and not me telling you about Jesus. I said, you told me that he went to Bethany, and I already knew about that, but had never seen the place before. That is, I hadn't been up into that particular area. I'd been by there several times, but you pointed that out. Now, I said, you ought to know him for the reason that he came to this earth. But I have to report, sadly, that he wasn't interested at all in that aspect of his coming. He was just interested in being a guide and for a price, taking folk around and showing them the different places. Now, will you notice here that he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee. And the word church is congregation here, and in that sense, I think more than the technical meaning that we attribute to church. Now, verse 13, and again, now he's going to give another quotation here, and will you notice it? And again, and he's quoting now from Isaiah, the 8th chapter, verses 17 and 18, I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me. Now, this reveals how the Holy Spirit interprets Scripture. There are those today that try to give an interpretation of, for instance, the prophets that would eliminate any reference to Jesus Christ at all. Now, here is one reference that when I read it in Isaiah, I actually see that he's talking about the sons of Isaiah. That's the way I understand it. But now the Spirit of God interprets this in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. So that when today anyone attempts to eliminate the Lord Jesus from the prophets, they are contradicting the interpretation that the Holy Spirit gives. And you will remember that when the Lord came back from the dead, that he said in John 20:17, "Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father, and my God, and your God." In other words, he is saying to my brethren, and it was his apostles at that particular time, and they were, of course, all Jewish. I emphasize that because I think it's rather important at this juncture, and if we keep before us the ones to whom this epistle was written, it will enable us to give an interpretation that I trust might lead to an application to your heart and to my heart today. Now, will you notice verse 14? He says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." We come now to a statement that emphasizes his incarnation. He partook of flesh and blood. He came in a way they weren't really looking for him to come. They should have been. The prophets had made it clear the way he would come the first time. But as George MacDonough put it, they were looking for a king to lift them high. He came a little baby thing that made a woman cry. He took a part of flesh and blood, and he came into this world by human birth, just like you and I came into this world. And not only through birth, his birth didn't save anyone, you see. It was through death he might destroy him, and it was only through death that he could save. His death is what saves us, not his birth, nor his life saves us. It's his death that saves us. And he brought salvation and deliverance from death. That is, spiritual and eternal death. And now, if you'll notice here what he says, and I'm moving rather slowly because this is so important here. Verse 15, I'm reading that now. "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now, he came down to this earth, took upon himself our humanity, became lower than an angel, because he says now in verse 16, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. "Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people." Now, when he came down in the likeness of man, it was a real likeness to man, and he came right down where the rubber meets the road today. He could have been born in the palace of a Caesar. He wasn't born there. He was born in real poverty. He was born in a stable back of an inn. Why? So that he could come down and be actually in the likeness of man, that he might know something of the effect of sin on humanity. And where do you see it today? Well, you see it in poverty. You see it in temptation today. And you see it in violent and unmerited death today. That's where you see sin manifested. I think it's tragic in this hour. Innocent people here in Pasadena some time ago, a dear, talented Christian woman, an outstanding artist, up in her 80s now, followed home by some teenager and cruelly and brutally murdered there. How terrible it was. And nothing was done about it, my friend. Nothing has been done about it. Thank God he's going to make things right someday. There's got to be an accounting somewhere today. And he's the one that's going to do that. So he came down and he knew what real poverty was during World War I. I went through El Paso on the train, and before we got in, the Pullman conductor came in and said, "Don't any of you get off here, because there are people in that station that have been there a week and they can't get out and they're desperate, and they'll come in if you get out and sit in your seat and they won't leave. And so you stay right there." And so we stayed right there. And so when the train started up, I went out to the vestibule and the conductor was there and I asked him about it. He went into the station. I didn't. He said, "Why, there are people in there that have been in there for a week. They're camping. They want to get out." It was during the war. You remember a young couple would come there and he'd be shipped out overnight and she'd be left stranded. She couldn't get back to her people and just wait there in the station. He said to me, says, "You know that there was a little boy that was born there the other night, right in that station." Imagine being born there. That little fella's a great big fella. Now, and I sure hope somebody's told him about Jesus. He got caught like that too, you remember? The old Caesar made a tax bill that everybody had to go and enroll to be taxed. And his mother, Mary, had to go to Bethlehem, and there wasn't any room in the inn. And he's born in a stable. He sure could sympathize that fella today born in a Union Station, wouldn't he? The Lord Jesus came down, and he's able to sympathize with you and me today. I don't care who you are, where you are. He knows you and he understands you, not just because he's God, but because he became a man and he knows exactly what you and I are going through today. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Are you facing hard times? Do you feel lost and alone? Well, if that's where you find yourself, why don't you stop what you're doing and visit our website, ttb.org, right now. And once you've found us, you can click on the banner, "How Can I Know God?" There you'll find resources written and recorded by Dr. McGee that can help you understand how much God loves you, how much he cares for you, and how he'll meet you right where you are. For those of you who know the Lord as your Savior, but maybe you need a better understanding of how he works in and through our suffering, we offer several booklets by Dr. McGee on this topic, including Confidence, Certainty, and Cheer, and then Why Do God's Children Suffer? Suffering is often a difficult topic to talk about, but it's one that Dr. McGee's many years as a loving pastor uniquely prepared him to talk and write about. So if you're looking for a compassionate and biblically sound perspective, then download a copy of these booklets for free from the resources section at ttb.org. Remember, ttb.org is also a great place to explore many other popular Bible study materials that can help you deepen your knowledge and understanding of God's Word, including this month's featured digital booklet titled "Under the Tree, 8 Gifts Jesus Gives You at the Cross." Our time in the book of Hebrews is off to a great start, and there's so much more to come. As I mentioned earlier, we'd love to hear what you're learning, so don't wait. Grab your smartphone or get your computer and send us an email at BibleBus@ttb.org. Now, December is letter month. Please remember that. It's a special time that we set aside to get to know you, all those who are riding the Bible bus along with us. So why don't you write? Again, the email is BibleBus@ttb.org, or mail your letters to P.O. Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, in Canada Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. We continue to make our way through the Bible tomorrow as the Bible bus comes round your corner at the same time. I hope that you'll hop aboard and invite a friend to join you. Before we go, let me encourage you with a final letter from the Bible bus. It's from a listener named Ray, who may have written through the Bible, but her blessing equally applies to you. Thank you for all you do for Christ, for his kingdom, and for the world. I pray God will open up doors in every direction you turn and remove every hindrance and send you every resource you need to fulfill his calling for you. May you and all the staff, partners, and listeners of this ministry be blessed today and always. Well, I say amen to that. I'm Steve Schwetz, so grateful for your company on the Bible Bus and your partnership in taking the whole word to the whole world.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.